Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on Yonah Perek Beis, the second chapter of the book of Yonah. We're really at a cliffhanger. Yonah's just been thrown off the boat while trying to escape the word of Hashem. He is, in a certain sense, submitted to death. The salesmen have thrown him overboard, and that's where we left. So this very short perek of 11 psukim deals with the aftermath in which Vayaman Hashem dog gadol livloa es Yonah. Hashem arranges that there's going to be this large fish which swallows him, and he is in this fish for 3 days. In the fish itself, Vayispalel Yonah el Hashem. So Yonah makes this tefillah, and that's really the predominant section of this perek is dealing with his tefillah. He prays from the me'ea daga, from the innards of the fish, and he calls out and he says to Hashem, you've answered me, Hashem. Be'beten shol shivati. You've saved me from the depths of the netherworld, and you took me from the seas and from the rivers. You allowed me out of them, and now I've been chased away from your heichal kodshecha, from your holy places. I'm at the point of death. Afufuni mayim ad nofesh. I've come to the ends of the earth. And I, at this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I request of you, please allow me to, my tefillah to be answered, and take me back. And I finally making the promise, I will bring you a thanks offering, I will pay up my dues, my nedarim, and Yeshua Sol Hashem, my salvation is from Hashem. And finally Hashem said, Vayomer Hashem Ladag, Vayokei Es Yonah El Yabasha, and Hashem intimated to the fish that it should go to the land, and such was the story, and he is thrown out onto the dry shore. So just a few basic questions to understand this perek. That's the general framework of the perek. It's really worthwhile actually reading Yonah's prayer inside it. A lot of very interesting details. I want to just focus on some of the major issues in this perek. The first thing is, how in the world did Yonah survive inside a fish? You know, he's an oxygen-breathing individual. He's a human being. It doesn't take too long to understand that this would have killed him within a few minutes. So that's why, in fact, one of the Mefarshim, as we saw in the first parak, Yosef, Rav Yosef ibn Kaspi, has an opinion who suggests that this was all a vision, meaning to say it's not possible Yonah could have survived in the fish, and that's why this is a vision. The Arbab Arnel and the Malbim and all the Mefarshim say, no, there are miracles which happen in Tanakh, like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were in fact thrown into the flaming furnace in the book of Daniel. So too, and they survived. That was clearly, explicitly a miracle. And that wasn't a vision. So in this case over here, it was supernatural too. In fact, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the Midrash, says that this fish was in fact created at the times of Bereshis. It was a singularity built into the system, like some of the other aspects that we know in Pirkei Avos, which are built into the system, like the Pi Ha'asan, the mouth of the donkey, which spoke to Bilam, and various other, we'll call it extraordinary occurrences, which were ultimately built in to the system of Teva. Very fascinating. Now, one thing you will notice is that when looking through his tefillah in this perek, it is almost all in the past tense. So if you look at his words, the way he describes it is something in the past. Karasi mitzarali, I called out in my tzara. And you answered me, Hashem. And you threw me. Why is it all in the past tense? Some of Farshim today say that maybe he made this prayer really only explicitly and articulately on dry land. Meaning maybe he's talking about the salvation which happened to him when this all finished. But the Hiruhur Tshuva, the thought process started in the fish. And then he said all of this when he got out of the fish. But the Ibn Ezra says no. If you look in all of Tanakh, Tanakh is full of Nevi'im who describe things in the future in the past, in the actual past tense. That's not unusual, says the Ibn Ezra. Example, Asher lakachti miyad ha'emori b'char b'yavakashti. Vayet shechmol ispol darach kochav miyakov. These are all in the past tense. And the Ibn Ezra says the reason why a prophet will mention something which is either occurring or to occur in the past is because it's so clear to them, it's almost like they're looking at it that it already occurred. That's why they would do that. However, the Arbab Arnel has a third and perhaps most intriguing suggestion here, and that is that this is actually autobiographical. Yonah was that young lad who was the child of the widow who died and Eliyahu resurrected from death. Which means when he talks about in the past how I came to Sheol, to the netherworld, and you saved me, it isn't referring to being in the fish. It's referring to his childhood. And therefore, my childhood, like you saved me then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please again save me now. That's what's really going on here. A really fascinating idea. One of the biggest and most troubling aspects of this perek is in perek Aleph, he seemed completely submitted to death. He told him to throw him overboard. He went to sleep in the fish. It doesn't sound like he was fighting, but now suddenly he's fighting. Suddenly he's praying. Why? What changed? What's happening over here? So if you look, there's really three psukim which indicate his epiphany, his change of mind. You look at Pasuk Zion, that's our first indicator of change. Pasuk Zion says very clearly, "Lekitzei ha'aretz harim yoralti va'aretz berichehu ba'adi le'olam." I've seen the edges of the earth, and the world was a briach. It was sort of like this parameter for me. The realization, the epiphany over here, as the Barbanel points out, is he realizes that no matter where he goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reach him. No matter what he does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, so Hashem's plan will prevail. He realizes his limitations. That's realization number one. Realization number two is in Pasuk Tes. Meshamrim havlei shav chastom ya'azovu. Those who guard the so emptiness, their kindness will leave them. What does that refer to? Just like Barbanel says, he realizes that even if he tells Nineveh to do teshuvah, and they do teshuvah, it won't be long-lasting if they don't mean it. Meaning they're going to slip back into their bad habits. So ultimately, it's not as if his action is leading to Assyria ascending and then destroying Israel. They ultimately have to make their free choice. And if they're not worthy of it, they're not going to live. Simple as that. That's realization number two. Realization number three is in Pasuk Yud, in which he says, "Vani b'kol todah es b'cholach." I'll call out in the voice of thanksgiving. Asher nodarti ashalema. What I have vowed, I will pay. Yeshua sola Hashem. The Yeshua, the salvation is to Hashem. Why is he mentioning the Yeshua? Because he realizes that even if he tells Assyria, and they do a teshuva process, and they sustain that teshuva process, nonetheless, Israel can also do teshuva. The Yeshua of Hashem is in the hands of Hashem. It's not predetermined because another nation has succeeded. That's what seems to be going on over here. Two very interesting facts about fish, and with this we close today, and that is that how many fish were there? So you say, well, of course there was one fish, wasn't there? Not so simple. The Gemara in Nedarim on Nun Aleph Amud Beis points out that if you look at Pasuk Beis, there are actually two descriptions of this fish. So description number one is Dag Gadol, that's in a big fish in Pasuk Aleph. And in Pasuk Beis, it talks about him being in Mimei Hadaga. Daga is female. So you may say, no, really, it's the same thing, and that's how Tanakh talks about it. But the Gemara actually suggests that there were two fish. There was a big male fish, which actually regurgitated him into the mouth of a female fish. Why? Rashi on the first pasuk explains that because he wasn't actually praying at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him or pushed him into a smaller female fish where there was less room, he was more cramped. In a certain sense, there needed to be more pressure to him, on him, to be able to really respond to the circumstances. He had not yet had that epiphany at the beginning of the parak, which is why there needed to be this transition. It is interesting, just worthwhile thinking, that the female fish, Rashi says, is Melea Ubrim. It was full of young. Maybe that was part of the process of the realization of Yonah, food for thought as to why. Last point is an archaeological point, which is a very, very fascinating insight, and that is, why was this whole message given over by a fish? Why was the fish so necessary? And this goes back in history to the actual place that Yonah was sent. He was sent to Nineveh. What is Nineveh? Well, in the cuneiform, the ancient script of Nineveh, it was written as Nina. Nina was a picture of a fish in a house. And the realization of that is because Nun in Aramaic means fish. Nineveh, what meant the place of a fish. It was on the Tigris River, which is why it was connected to the goddess of the river, which is why they used that. Now, what that means to say in the larger significance of this parak is, here is Yonah running away from the place of the fish, from Nineveh, and he is absorbed by the fish. Could there be no clearer message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it all under control? That's perhaps part of the messaging which Yonah is supposed to be picking up, and we vicariously are also understanding that Hashem is in control of where we go. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.